Man, you come straight out of a comic.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Straight Out of a Comic Book. I am your host, Will Farrow. Today, we got Young Deuces and Brandon Brody in the building because I needed two experts to talk about the continuation of D23. It wasn't just Marvel. You know, I didn't want to just feel like, you know, people's like, we just on the Marvel stuff. Star Wars came, put their lightsaber on the table too. All right?
Yeah, they did.
Melted right through the table. They came with the heat. So much to the point to where I was like, yo, Lucas Entertainment was coming out to play. You can't even really call it Star Wars on this one. Lucas Entertainment came out swinging with not only Star Wars, but also some other legendary titles that this man has created. And we're going to kind of jump in that today too, man. But like I said, we definitely want to start with the Star Wars action. A lot of things are coming back that we saw, a lot of updates on some of the stuff that we knew were coming. One of the biggest things was Andor. Yeah. Andor got another trailer and is going to be streaming September 21st on Disney Plus. Haven't said how many episodes that they're going to be, but they also have began production on season two. So I just want to know from two big Star Wars fans, especially coming from the Rebellion movie before the set of the next set of Star Wars, how do y'all feel about this Andor character and what he's going to bring to the table?
I'll go right in. First of all, I wasn't that excited about Andor. He didn't make or break Rogue One for me. I honestly think that I'm glad that he, you know, everyone perished at the end of that movie because I didn't need to know any more about Andor. I didn't want any retcon shit where they just created a guy that is now in the Star Wars lore where they just placed him in there just because. So I'm glad that he died and we understand why we never heard about him in A New Hope. But, you know, for that, for him being a hero of the past, that's cool. So I like, it's okay, I guess, reverse retconning, you know, like prequeling it for me. Don't put characters in to then act like they've always been in future films and everything. So I wasn't that excited, but then when I found out it was more of a prequel type of thing, it was kind of a precursor because I was like, it did, obviously he died, so I didn't understand what we were going to be discussing. But it looks interesting. The way Rogue One and Solo show just the different side of Star Wars is pretty cool. Solo's, you know, one of my least favorite Star Wars films, but I do like that it's like, you're really getting an understanding that the Jedi and, you know, the Force and all that isn't the center of the universe. That makes because we've always identified Star Wars as that. But when you see that there's these working class that almost see Jedi as like mythical creatures, like, yeah, right, a Jedi. I like seeing that side. So even like I look forward to Andor, that kind of just showing that these niggas, they say, may the Force be with you, almost like, you know, like it's of a spirit. Like, we just may the Force be with you, you know, not actually that there's niggas that can harness the Force.
Right. And like, so if it's actually going to be 12 episodes, Will.
Okay.
So it's 12 episodes. And the fact, like you said, that this is that prequel 5 years before Rogue One, like for me, like who got into Star Wars later on, like I always said that, like, man, it seems like if this is the galaxy, why are they only focusing on like this core group of individuals? So when they, like right now, for me, I'm excited to see the expansion of the universe as far as like these different main characters. And so like on the opposite side of how Brody feels about it, it's like, yeah, I was like, all right, I don't know much about Andor or in general, like with that. So I was like, I'm interested in at least learning more about, like I said, more of the universe. That's why like I gravitate towards a lot of these additional shows heavily, because I'm like, yo, this is pretty dope that now, like, this is the galaxy. They talk about galaxies upon galaxies, and I'm like, when are we talking about these other galaxies and these other people? Like, there's more than just the Skywalkers and Vader and everything. So it's like, but, you know, trying to get more into that, you know, the Rebel Alliance and everything. Like, I'm just excited to see how this goes and everything. So
Yeah, I kind of feel like the both of y'all too. I think with like this series and even two other shows that did a really good job on that is The Mandalorian and The Book of Boba Fett. As y'all said, it really started to help spread out what this was. Because, you know, just even for someone like myself, I missed out on the cartoon version. So like, you know, the Clone Wars, all of those things that really gave a lot of you all that expansion of what Star Wars could be. And so, so I kind of missed out on a lot of that stuff. But just to see these, even just like from these three shows that we got that's going to be coming, Mandalorian showed you the different type of like religion or the different type of group that was out here outside of just the Jedi, like you said, and like the Siths and stuff. And it's just like, oh, that's someone else who follows a code that's really dope that you want to see more of. But then also too, for like Boba Fett, it expanded that world of like these planets. And it's just like, wow, you never thought about the underbelly Star Wars. Like, you never thought about people hustling and, you know, import export and like, you know, like Jabba the Hutt, like really be like, yo, Jabba the Hutt, really that dude the kingpin, like for real. And then like him being gone and like that gap that was really left there. So it's like it starts to really fill in that story, you know, because, you know, I talk my shit to just out of the fun of it, but it starts to really fill in more of like how you said that tagline that they have in a galaxy far, far away. We're starting to see more of that galaxy, and I'm definitely enjoying it. So another thing that they did drop and announce was the Tales of the Jedi. That's it. Like, you know, I missed out on those things. So I know y'all may be a little bit more familiar with the animated versions, but they're coming out with the 6 original shorts, I believe in October. And so it's going to be an actual anthology. It's going to be like an animated anthology close to something that I believe they say is going to be following a young Qui-Gon Jinn and Master Count Dooku. And it's also going to include a young Ahsoka and her Jedi training during the Clone Wars.
Which I'm excited. I'm really excited for that. Like, Ahsoka was one of those characters that when she came on the screen, like, she ran away, like, with like as far as popularity. So then when they showed the live action version of her in like in Mando, it was like, yo. And then when we learned that she get into live action, like, for me, I just want to get more of her character. So now we're going to get into her birth, her origins and everything like that, and I'm like, I'm excited for that. That's the one that really sold it for me on that one.
I'm hoping it gives us like different designs too, kind of like how they did I know I get it wrong, but it was a recent anthology that you had mentioned, Brody, in our anime episode, that Star Wars anthology of animes that they made, you know, how they had the different styles and stuff like that. So I hope it Tales of the Jedi be something like that, where each of these may have like a different type of animation style.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, that's what I did really appreciate about that animated series, that it gave, you know, different directors a chance. That's kind of similar to The Mandalorian. And I think that's really cool for Star Wars to be given different directors. So then they can kind of like almost sift and see who they want to continue directing more. You know, they saw that your boy, Jon Favreau, you know what I'm saying? And with Filoni, you know, the way they handled The Mandalorian, the way they handled I can't remember what they handled prior to that, that was Star Wars related, but I think it was a short or something. Or the Filoni, I can't remember how he got on, but the way they handled it, they secured the Mandalorian for themselves, man, just through that. And I'm really, I like the Ahsoka character, and this is exactly right. Ahsoka's one of those characters, and we're like, wait, who's that? You know what I mean? She was like this, it's like the new girl in school. You're like, wait, who's that? You know, like, we're wondering, like, wait, why don't I know who that is? You know, but we understood, you know, and through Clone Wars, that's where they, you know, first started to implement the character. And then with Rebels, that's where I got introduced. Because I watched a little bit of Clone Wars, but not enough to where they started to focus on Ahsoka like that. But in Rebels, when they brought Ahsoka in, it was like, I mean, we've never seen a character that literally was like, I'm not a Jedi, I'm not a Sith, I'm just Force sensitive, I make my own decisions. So almost a mercenary user of the Force, you know?
Yeah.
Like, makes her own decisions.
The only thing that I was like, oh man, because they're going to do a Mace Windu episode too, but it's not voiced by Samuel L. Jackson, and I was like, ugh.
Yeah,
I didn't do that.
I'm assuming because it's a young version of Mace Windu that they're just getting a different character to do a young.
But let's be clear: there's never been a young version of Samuel Jackson.
Very much Samuel so. Samuel
Jackson has been the same age his whole life, so that makes no yes. sense. To me.
Him and Morgan Freeman.
He's always been 54 years old.
Yes, I agree. And then also,
I'll be 55. Samuel Jackson still gonna be 54 years old.
Exactly. 93 on the deathbed, just oh my god, it's still Sam Jackson. 55.
How's young Sam Jackson doing? He's 54. He just celebrated his 54th yesterday.
Be like, oh man, that man don't never change. Yeah. But no, even just how like you said, Brody, with that, Liam Neeson is returning to voice Qui-Gon Jinn. So that's why it's even too like, well, if he's returning, then why can't Samuel Jackson return?
Maybe
Samuel Jackson takes on every role that gets put on his plate. So I feel like he's probably just busy.
he's probably doing Secret Invasion or something. You know what I mean?
He's just busy.
I can definitely see that because
I don't know if we really talked about it or anything like that, but in was it Boba Fett? Man, which one showed? Oh my God! Now I'm blending them together. The one where they showed, and people theorized that was Mace Windu on that ship. I think it was it Boba?
Oh,
Fett?
When it was the Jedi's in the chambers. I think it was Boba. Yeah.
So they theorized, and then around that time, Samuel L. Jackson. He was talking about like he picks roles that he likes to play, right? And he was like, yeah, you know what I'm saying? And so in past roles, he was like, yeah, I had fun playing them. But then when he said, and I enjoy playing Mace Windu. So people was like, wait, are we about to get something Mace Windu with it? So when I started hearing, I was like, wait, okay, is this, we're getting Samuel L. Jackson back? And then when I saw, I was like, he's not. But I was like, but why would he say I enjoy playing him? Because he hasn't played them in forever. So I was like, because I want more Mace Windu. Because like we know the reason behind his purple lightsaber, but they never gave it a origin in the lore. We just know that Samuel L. Jackson said, no, I want it purple, and it gotta say bad motherfucker on the lightsaber. Right. Like, we know that. But I want to see how they put it in the lore.
You know, I think that, I mean, still, the one thing they haven't tackled, which they have done in some other video games, is just talking about the Old Republic. So I think that they might be saving that Samuel Jackson or something, you know, with the Old Republic. Now, again, like, I don't know if they're going to de-age him or something like that to make him a younger Jedi.
Oh, yeah. Like how they did Ms. Marvel. Like they, you know, they de-aged him in Ms. Marvel and stuff like that. So by that time, too, when like how you just said, Brody, if they waiting on the right time to do it, by the time they do like find that perfect time to do it, you know, like technology will be even better, especially like with Lucasfilm. So you know you're gonna have all of the CG down pat ready to go.
They're all underneath Disney. Because remember they de-aged Tony in what was that? Iron Man 2?
Iron Man 3.
Simulation and stuff.
Even though it was like it still kind of looked weird, it was still like, yo, but that's kind of eerily like good. So the fact that you got two powerhouses working on CGI de-aging technology, they're good.
and then just like how y'all said, how long it took to have Ahsoka come out finally and get her shine. Like, but it comes out at the perfect time because like now you have all of these series that you can put on Disney Plus with Star Wars to give everybody their shot and kind of clean up a lot of this like these decade spans between like these sagas and stuff like that. So they got a lot to go off of. And then like another one that they have is called the Skeleton Key that they have promoted. Skeleton Crew that they have premiered. Yeah. Jude Law is the star of this one. Not a lot given about it. It's kind of show like clips and stuff, but it's supposed to come out in 2023. It stars Jude Law. It's kind of like Lost in Space, but it's during like the New Republic era. So it's just interesting.
Here's what I've been telling people, like how the conversations I've been having with like just a lot of other Star Wars fans. I said I was like, Lucasfilms, as much as it's crazy to say with all that they have with Star Wars, this is like phase two of Star Wars. So remember in Marvel, when Marvel first came out, like, you know, when they was doing, like, we was excited. We knew about Captain America, Thor, whatever like that. But when phase two hit, you started getting characters that you was like, what? They bringing that person to screen? Yo, they put it. And I feel like we was having those moments. Cause like even going back to Ahsoka, I know we keep on talking about her, but when she popped up, I did not expect her to pop up in Mandalorian at all. And then after that, I'm like, all right, well, they gave us that. And then in each of these series, in Boba Fett, and I'm like, wait, they're actually giving us Luke Skywalker in these? Like, I was like, it was like, it's that shock of, wait, they're bringing this person in? What, they giving us this person? And so it's like, it's that hype of phase two. And so it's like, with Star Wars, with what they're doing, and like I said, even when you announce the actors, like Jude, like you like, oh shit, Jude Law is in this bitch? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we got him a part of the Star Wars universe. It's like, it's dope to see how that goes. And that's where a lot of the excitement is lying for me.
Yeah.
And I was going to say, I really think, I like that they're keeping it canonized, you know, like they're really, you know, it makes the animated series like that much, it gives it that much weight. You know, I felt crazy watching Rebels, you know, like just initially, but then like by the end of that season three, bro, I was like, man, I mean, there were certain episodes, I'm not even gonna lie, bro, my eyes were watering up, bro. Like Rebels is good.
I've heard nothing but good things about it.
I couldn't believe it, man. And you know, and that, and they got, and just with that being said, like what the Deuce is saying, I'm excited now. They're bringing Ezra Bridger to Andor. So we're gonna see a live action Ezra Bridger. Looks like, you know, he's gonna be his older Ezra, so he's obviously a Jedi by this point, probably trained. I don't know if he's training anybody else, but that'd be super interesting to see what happens, because you know, obviously there's a reason why he's not in the following episode. So you know, it looks like maybe there's some kind of closure to Ezra's story in Andor.
Yeah, true. But how do y'all feel though? I wanted to know, like with this, and like for instance, the skeleton crew. This seems kind of like these are new characters. This isn't somebody that is actually from the lore just yet. They haven't really announced who he's playing. So how do y'all feel about that now being able to care, like with these new storylines coming out, or is Star Wars there enough to start carrying with new characters that folks don't know about inside the world of Star Wars?
I feel yes and no. I feel like this is going to be the test. So just like how, again, it's so easy to compared to Marvel, but just as how Marvel, when they introduced Guardians of the Galaxy, and it was like, okay, like, all right, we kind of know what's going on here, but we don't know too much about them, and then how they blew up and popped. I feel like this is going to be that. This is their test. Like, okay, if this is successful, then we can really start opening up our wings and really start expanding this universe. And, you know, we can introduce new characters. We can introduce different planets that we may have just brushed past. And it's like, oh yeah, y'all seen that planet. We never really gave the lore to it. You know, because like even the thing, and it kind of jumping forward, but even in Mandalorian, what they gave us, it seems like we're going to see we're going to see the home planet, the destruction, the aftermath. Like, we're going to see all that. So it's like, I feel like that's what they're doing. They're trying to figure out, how much can they go? Do they have to still have some type of tie-in a little bit, or can they give us completely new characters, and I feel like this is the moment that they're trying to, this is going to be the test.
Well, that's exactly what I was going to say. I think that you got to have some kind of tether to some kind of core characters, or else, like, I mean, I simply can't care about them. I mean, even when the Bad Batch came out, like, it's like, I don't care so much about the clones. Yeah. You know, and now you're making a spinoff about just some of the clones, you know, like it's a spinoff of a spinoff. I'm kind of like, I just couldn't get excited about it, you know? And it's like, I mean, you gotta, like, I guess they had, I'm trying to think who else was on Bad Batch, but I couldn't get into it. So I have no idea what the skeleton crew, what they're going to explore. But I mean, I know there are some areas where I could be excited for this show. The way The Mandalorian really swept us and got everybody is because they introduced the idea of Baby Yoda. And people have had all types of questions. Yoda's always been in kind of mystery. You know, his lore has been in mystery. Now that we're seeing the child that with Grogu and everything, like it's like, I would be interested in them, like in the skeleton crew, tapping on something in the universe. Like, I don't know if it's finding Kyber crystals somewhere or something, or finding some kind of Sith temple, you know, something that they're not supposed to find, like something really, like almost that we kind of see here and there. You don't really get to really explore it. But it's but it's so deeply woven into the lore that it becomes this pivotal thing that, oh shit, these random travelers found. That's the only way it makes sense for me. You know, somebody stumbles upon something they shouldn't have.
That would actually be fire. Now I want that. Now I want them to find the crystals. I want them to find this, like, this untapped area. Like, whoa, wait, what is this? Like,
yeah.
I would love something like that. I think that would be, yeah, like how y'all said, that would be dope to have them.
Even if they found a Grogu planet, like the Yoda's planet. Could you imagine that? Like, that's what the skeleton crew taps upon?
Ooh, yeah, that would. Because Baby Yoda or Grogu, or whatever you want to call him, they still didn't, like, all the questions that we have from since he first popped in, we still didn't get those questions answered.
That nigga's 50, he's 53 years old now.
Yeah.
It's been about 3 years since Mandalorian first dropped. He's 50 on the Mandalorian. He's like, right. He's 53 now. He's Samuel Jackson's age. He's 54 years old.
I was thinking
what
you said. I was like, him and Sam Jackson went to school together.
Yeah, they
was
in the class together.
Like, most likely that motherfucker
that
never took off his helmet. Yeah, he's still
doing
shit.
Like, yeah, you know, they got him as the Mandalorian in the Star Wars joint.
In that little Star Wars joint.
Yeah, the Star Wars.
He kind of got him shooting that little movie down. Huh? Yeah. even that was also too though a good segue, because I think you are right, Brody, being introduced to people that are not canon in the story, but being paired with the right element inside the lore, I think, like you said, that's the best combination that they can go to introduce us to these things. Because even as you had just brought up, you know, like how the Bad Batch didn't really grab you, that was another thing that was announced, that season 2 was going to be released the beginning of 2023.
I got the perfect analogy. I give it, it's the Dr. Dre effect, okay? Like, Dr. Dre brought out Eminem, Eminem brought out 50 Cent, 50 Cent brought out G-Unit, and within the G-Unit, it was like, there's Tony Yayo. You know what I'm saying?
Don't do Lloyd Banks.
Lloyd Banks, and a young Buck.
Young Buck. Don't you do them cats like that?
They were the Bad Batch. You know what I'm saying? I think it's perfect. Like, I couldn't have said it better myself, bro. They're literally the Bad Batch. You know, they're like, all right, cool. We did the original series. Now we did the prequel series. You know, we did Attack of Clones. All right, let's throw in this new spinoff, which is the 50 Cent of called Clone Wars. You know, that's 50. They said, all right, how about this? Let's do another one. Let's double down with G-Unit, Bad Batch. And everyone's like, all right. You know, we good.
I'm so upset how perfect this analogy is.
Right.
Because if they spin anything off from the Bad Batch, that's going to be the game.
That's the game.
That's the game. I'm like, yo, I'm so upset that this works so perfectly.
And then what's going to be funny is whatever they spin off of the Bad Batch, if it follows the game trajectory, it's going to be the most successful out of the spinoff from that. Because outside of 50... Game is the most successful G-Unit member, even though Lloyd Banks is a better one. So it's like, whatever spinoff is going to be, it's going to be the Rogue something of Bad Batch Clone. It's going to be the Finn story. They're going to retcon Finn, and then it's going to be a hit, and Finn is going to be Game. Because, you know, because think about it. Here's how it makes perfect sense. Because the Game, even though he's G-Unit history, he still got... And he's beefing with G-Unit because of how they did him. Yeah. Ben is beefing with Star Wars because of how they did
him. Because of how they did him.
And if they retcon and they give him, like, he's like, all right, I'm a shine, but hey, I still got a problem with y'all, but I'm going to do my thing right now. Like,
yo, if 50 Cent ever hit this shit, he's going to go watch Star Wars. All of the Star Wars just to get this reference.
And Star Wars be so messy, you know, you're going to see if they do a Finn retcon thing, someone's going to be like, Finn, glad to see you. And he's going to look at the screen like, it's good to be back. And then just look back.
Right. And it's like, it's going to be, but I feel like though, right, when you are in this space where you're creating a universe and you're doing more with the whole universe, it gives you that opportunity to either retcon or like I said, give more properties to it. Like I said, we knew about the Mandalorians, and then when Mandalorian came out, we didn't really know that we wanted more about this whole lore, but then they gave it to us, and we were like, yo, this is fire, learning the law, learning how they move, learning their rules, learning what, you know, this Mandalorian actually going against the whole Kree and everything, like now what everything, how he's moving is different. And so it's like to see that journey, but also do it, like you said, to equip it with a Grogu, you know, to equip it with, wait a minute, who's this mystery? Like, why, like, wait, is that Yoda?
Yeah. And you know, they kind of, and the way they did it in a perfect way for the Mandalorian is like, they're like, all right, this is how we're going to tether it. This guy looks like Boba Fett. As far as viewers know, Boba Fett is the only quote unquote Mandalorian in the universe. Yeah. You know, I put heavy quotes because it's still debatable whether Boba Fett's a Mandalorian, whether he's, you know, I mean, whether it's not. But that, but once we saw the Mandalorian, we started being like, oh, this nigga's nothing like Boba Fett.
Right.
But I like him. But I really like him. But he's not. It's like a different character, you know.
Yeah.
But they eased it in with the, you know, all right, they like how Boba Fett looks. Let's give him some Boba Fett things and a costume, you know, boom, boom, boom. And then we're gonna show you how he's different. And that's what they also did with the Boba Fett series, which I know some people are upset because they wanted Boba Fett to be a different way. But I actually appreciate seeing.
Me too. I enjoyed the book of Boba Fett. I thought it was just what it needed to be. I was like, yo,
it was a crime family story.
That's the thing too. It's just like how y'all named The Godfather one of the best fucking films of all time, and that's basically what the book of Boba Fett was. Like that's exactly what that shit was. It was the Godfather of Star Wars. And it was just like, I don't understand like what y'all wanted to see. And it was just like, yo, you gotta remember too, this dude been gone for like a while. Like Boba Fett, like Jabba the Hutt is dead. Like all this stuff that he went through, like the people he can extract revenge on, most of them gone. So it's just like, all you have is this territory for him to take over. So it's like, and it again, it showed so much more of what Star Wars can be. And it also elevated a lot of characters that you didn't know needed that extra boost in the stories, but they did, because it made Han Solo more valuable to show like why he's a runner and why he's an outlaw. Same thing with Chewbacca, same thing of all of these cats that he battles as to work. Cause you know, like it's still like space cowboys, and it's like Star Wars never really focused so much on the space cowboy aspect. They were more heavy into the, you know, the religious view of like, you know, the Force, the Sith and stuff. And so like seeing this with Boba Fett, it just boosted that up. And I'm just like, I don't get why people didn't like it.
Well, here's where I think like, if the way that they did, like the way that they've done everything so far, this is actually like a good blueprint for any franchise who has decades worth of content, right? Because Star Wars has decades worth of material, and everything that they create now, whoever's writing it and directing it, you have the task of not only creating this story, but making it make sense within this universe that has such dedicated fan base who picks everything apart, right? And so I think that it's challenging, like, it's even though it's a spinoff of Star Wars and everybody's like, they're reusing properties, where I tip my hat off to like the writers and everybody is that like, yes, you are bringing in Easter eggs, little tidbits. You are adding to this lore, but you're not just saying, oh yeah, this is this person and now we're just doing the story. No, every episode and things that they're doing, it's kind of like Brody said, it's interwebbing with something, some point, something, you know, cause even the small things, like I love the, like one of the reasons why I love Mandalorian so much, I was like, bro, they're bringing in stuff from that cheesy ass Christmas Star Wars episode that they did.
Oh, yeah.
But they're making it canon. They're bringing in things that was created just for toys. Like I said, I love the show, The Toys That Made Us. That stormtrooper driver thing, that big old ship that holds like 50 stormtroopers, that was made just so, and when you have the action figures, you can store your toys. And I said, y'all brought that into reality. I was like, this is crazy that they're like that. People are doing that. To me, that is amazing writing. That is a challenge to be able to do that and make it make sense.
What's exciting about Book of Boba Fett too is the fact that like we've, for the naysayers, this is what I truly believe, that they'll continue if they do a season two of Book of Boba Fett. I think that we'll have obviously we've got to learn about Boba Fett, who he is now. but it allows us to go back and just show all the other bounties that he's gone on and show him why he's such a badass. Because they preface that with the flashbacks of when he was a kid, you know, witnessing Jango Fett and all that. So we know that this story is told, and it's the Boba Fett now, but I think we'll dip more into those flashbacks of all the slaughtering he probably had to do, that it was just for the bounty, bro. You know, and him trying to, I think, because this is truly, it's a crime story, but it's also a story of redemption, yo.
Yeah. Yeah, like, no, I agree. I agree.
Looking for redemption.
Yeah, because like how you said it, and even too in the beginning of the Book of Boba Fett, you kind of see this dude who's angry, like you see that kind of get taken away from him, like that stuff gets stripped of him, being put in such a bad predicament to where it's like, yo, this man had to swallow his ego, everything he knows about this, and start from square one, and having these people, you know, having the Tusk teach you all of this stuff, and for you to be able to like center that anger, that pain, everything you'd have went to, was just like how you said, Brody, where was he before all that happened? So, like, you get to see the part, like how you said, where it goes from the kid to where it's like, you know, not understanding and starting to figure out, like, yo, like, I'm a clone of this person. I'm a, or am I even the real person, having that identity type of crisis, getting into the kill of things and starting to feel like, you know, like that pride and that sense, and really getting lost into being this bounty hunter and making these decisions that's just for the money.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be excited just like, and it gives just as a flashback scene. They can go back to Empire Strikes Back when Darth Vader, and you see all the different bounty hunters. You know, just that little scene of showing what did Boba Fett do during the time before he finally was able to catch up with everyone on Cloud City. Yeah. You know, I think they were on a Star Destroyer, and that's when Darth Vader was talking to all the bounty hunters and whatnot.
Yeah.
And then everyone goes their separate ways to go look for our heroes. And just to see that as a flashback in the Book of Boba Fett would be like things like that would be exciting to be.
It would be great.
Doing, you feel me? Because it's like maybe he went to a planet and slaughtered everyone looking for him, and then when he finally found him on Cloud City, or what he did when he pulled up to Cloud City.
Yeah. Well, because see, that's the main thing. But Boba Fett is like notoriously known around the galaxy. So like things like that would add, like, let's keep on letting us know why he is the badass that everybody's like, yo, hey, that he one of them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, create his legend, like how you said, like what is it with Han Solo and like traveling at a parsec and stuff like that?
What is it?
It was traveled through some stream in like 12 parsecs. Yeah. But it's like that's one of his legacies that he's known for. It's like
Kessel Run.
But it's like Al just said, this show gives us a great opportunity for you to add those type of legacies to Boba Fett. So it's like how you said, dude, this is the most known bounty hunter in the galaxy. Everybody gotta have a bar story, like, bro, you remember that time Boba Fett went shot the motherfuckers up and just chunked loose? Like, you gotta have he gotta have one of them.
And that's what's funny about it though, too, because they've already sprinkled in those elements of like the bar stories. Because anytime you stop at a planet or anywhere, and then at that bar scene with like the bounty hunters and the underbelly, they always talking about some shit like, hey man, let me tell you, like, so
I love to hear that niggas taking a shot, like, yeah, one time this nigga Boba, he cut my arm off. Yo, that nigga lit my shit. I had to get the fuck out of it. I'm a joint. I can't even feel nothing.
This nigga lit my tentacles on fire with a fucking blowtorch, bro.
Right. Because you got to think about it, too. You think about it. You're like, no, this nigga came out of nowhere. He just like, he had a jetpack or something. He popped up out of nowhere.
They're like, shut the hell up, man. What? One man had all that. Yeah, one man had all that power. Man,
I'm telling y'all, bro. Little motherfucker had a helmet with a T on it. Then just came out of the sky, had fire on his back. Just shot out, started shooting my homeboys up. Then all of a sudden, hey, I ain't like y'all believe. Motherfucker shot a missile out of his backpack.
Right.
Missile came out. Hit my damn
And he lifted his hand up. Then tiny missiles came out, shot me. Then he grabbed me with a grappling hook.
Blew up my hoverboard. Fucking droid is destroyed. Can't even fuck car nobody out. And then this nigga just did some crazy shit like this. And then threw his gun in and flew the fuck off.
And this is how he ended. And the biggest part, the nigga ain't even force sensitive.
They're like, how'd you get that mark on your? Well, he punched me. He just knocked me out.
This is a solid strike. I tried and just bowed, but then I knew that I was.
Yeah, and all that shit. Right. He knocked me out. He didn't have to use nothing on me. I went right to sleep.
Wasn't no gadget. No nothing. He just.
It was a Boba fist.
But I got the closest to him, so that's the moral of the story. But yeah, man. So I'm hoping to see something about that. They didn't announce anything for Boba Fett at D23. But we can get into the main big thing that, of course, you know, we've been kind of hitting it, which is the Mandalorian season 3 trailer was released. And you are a Mandalorian no more.
Yeah, and I also got a lot of theories because I feel like we're going to see, because one of the biggest issues that I know that a lot of people had with the latest sequel is they was like, yo, this new First Order came out of nowhere. And I feel like we're going to see them at least, like, you're going to, because I think that they're taking like old husk of, like, you know, everything. And that's where they created this new fleet. And I think we're not going to see like the completion of it. But I believe that this series is going to start giving us that. We're going to start seeing bits and pieces of how they created that new fleet.
See, here's the thing. Here's why I don't be liking you Star Wars fans like this, because shit y'all get mad about be the shit that makes sense. Like, oh, how did the First Order come out somewhere? They bought it. Do you really think the Republic blew everything up from one Death Star? No, there were planets building these ships. Somebody just sold this shit at an auction, and we're like, you know what? We'll call it the First Order. That's what's gonna happen. Let me get 17 of these spacecrafts. Let me get that. Let me get that black TIE fighter over there, because that shit look dope. I want to take pictures for my Stargram.
Matter of fact, and that's what they gotta show. They gotta show. They gotta show the black market. They gotta show the nigga.
Yeah, like that makes the most sense as to why they did that.
Well, that's what I wish that they did with Canto Bight in Last Jedi. Yeah. You know, like that's the underbelly. Those are the arms dealers. Like they really didn't lean into like that two niggas that are literally playing craps are funding a war between you know, these two different sides, like between the Resistance and the First Order. Like they could have like they don't. I mean, it goes right. It's so easy because it goes right back into what the prequel trilogy was, with the Emperor literally setting up a war, you know, waging war between separatists and the old Republic, you know.
But this is what let me learn something. George Lucas ain't never watched The Wire. That's what this is. George Lucas needs to start watching drug shit. All right, he need to watch Power. That's what it is. George Lucas ain't tapped into his drug dealing shit, and that's the thing, because it's like, I still don't know what is the equivalent of cocaine in Star Wars. Because someone's doing cocaine.
It's spice. They call it spice. And that's what I was going to say. That was another cool thing about Boba Fett, is that they really showed how that spice trade is real, yo. Like, them niggas.
Yeah. And see, I wish they dive into that. Because, like, when I watched Dune, I was just like, yo, I don't know what y'all trying to tell us, but we need to look into spice while we here on Earth. Be like, yo, how many, man, what spices y'all got? We buy some.
Right, we got. I want to see a spice head. Like, I want to see everything.
See all spice. What's the most expensive spice you got out here in these streets?
That's where Disney gets a little soft, you know, because I don't think they're going to show a cracked out spice head on any Star Wars series. I'd love to see imagine how fucking deep a Star Wars story could get, where you have a promising young Jedi, maybe Ezra Bridger gets hooked on fucking spice and it fucking took him out. That's the story I want to see. I want to see the nigga, the Jedi that had so much potential but just had a drug problem. Because there's so many artists, there's so many talented people.
He got the Chris Rock scene, bro, to just...
Yeah, yeah. What are you doing, Ezra? You don't want no parts of this. It's spice.
Get out of here.
They just find Ezra laying out.
Ezra, what are you doing? Huh? Get out of here, man.
You don't want no parts of this shit. what are you doing? It's called spice.
I think I want to try some of the spice. was like Dewey Cox, that walk hard.
He don't want no part of this shit.
Yeah.
I think I want it.
I think you meant Tim Meadows too. It was Tim Meadows.
Yeah, man. Shout out to him. That's one of my favorite scenes from that movie.
Oh, I love it.
But now, so now I'm wondering though, what do y'all think is gonna happen to Mando now? Like, from what I saw, like what the trailer is, it's like there's a split between like the Mandalorians, like where he was seemed like it was kind of like a cult-like place, you know, like something that's kind of like still stuck in like the old ways. And now we're gonna kind of get an opening of this New Testament of Mandalorians that are there. Because even like in the trailer, those three Mandalorians that we had saw that has Sasha Banks in there, and she's also gonna be returning. They had said that it was their cult that separated our people.
Yeah. Yeah, because remember because when he met them, they were like, you know, like we don't do all of that, bro. Like, yeah, we still like you don't gotta be that. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's what it is. This is their civil war moment in regards with the Mandalorians. This is the old way versus the new way. This is that, you know, I think that's what they're going to be. That's what's going to be the main underlying of the story, the main storyline of the whole series.
First something I would also like to address about you Star Wars folks. Who in the hell makes a religion where you can't take your helmet off? Like, health-wise, what the fuck is going on?
Like, well, it's almost like the chastity belt of their head. You know what I'm saying? But
it's chastity belt. You ain't got to worry about passing out. Like, none of y'all have ever just looked at Darth Vader and like, I know this dude gonna fall out. Like, he on his high, he on Tatooine. This shit high.
I don't know why they don't just have feeding tubes that go straight into the helmet. That's what I really don't understand. They've never figured that out. You never see.
They haven't evolved.
They go in a Bacta tank and put a whole thing on their face in the water, but just a quick bite. Just have a little R2-D2 situation. And then
what are he trying to get some spice? Get his spice on? Like, is this like a vacuum part? Like, does it just and then go?
Get it? I feel like that goes against Mandalorian law to be doing spice.
So I gotta ask y'all though, like, so just
and like, no, this is the way.
This is
wait, no, they get
their way separate us. This is the way.
This is the way.
Come on over here and get some of this new shit. But now, I would ask y'all, like, so say they had this religion out. And it involves space travel, the whole nine. Would y'all dedicate yourselves to this and wear a helmet all the fucking time?
I don't.
Based off of everything you get as a Mandalorian.
So the only reason why I'm still contemplating it is that if you good at what you do, they cash out the Mandalorians. You be having, like, to have the shiny suit, like...
The Mandalorian suit alone, I mean, it's clean. You know what I'm saying? Like, and the way the nigga keeps like taking his bread and getting new little pieces, I'm right. I kind of fucks with that. I fucks with that. Turning your money and
it's like the first. It's like live action RPG. It's like, oh, I get to level really up. Is.
I love it. He's leveling up, bro. His uniform. I mean, his costume. His suit looks different than it does. In the even now seasons, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that helped grab you in a little bit more, too, to see that come up and everything like that, and to see him take that stuff seriously. I think that was dope to see, too. So, but are y'all doing it?
I'm leaning towards it, because outside of being force sensitive, the Mandalorians, I'm like, I can see me rocking with that crew, because I definitely wouldn't want to be a stormtrooper. I definitely wouldn't want to be anybody on the dark side. So I'm thinking of like which crews I would want to.
So then let's ask it like that then. Let's get into it like that. So where in the Star Wars world, what would you join? Like, I know you have Stormtrooper. Yeah. I know you have a Mandalorian. You also have being a space cowboy is what I, you know, clarify like as a Han Solo and stuff like that. Yeah. You also have what was the races that they did on Tatooine?
They had the Tradotians. That's like the dinosaur-looking dudes.
No. The ones that Anakin was driving.
Oh, the Dubaks?
Yeah.
The reptiles? Yeah, the Dubaks? Or Rontos are the ones that look like giraffes, and the Dubaks are the little reptile ones.
Yeah.
But what would y'all be?
Oh, the Bontha, the furry things.
The elephant
ones.
pilot. You got being a pilot. You could join the Rebel Force. Or you could be a politician.
So I'm trying to think, like, because, all right, and it, I guess it all depends on, like, because if I'm not force sensitive, then yes, I want to be a Mando, because I'm like, one, the Mando, the Mandalorian outside of their own people, and when you go against it, they don't have many people going at them. A lot of people don't fuck with them because they know, like, hey, these niggas get busy. We don't really mess with them. And they get cashed out on both sides. The dark side of hiring them, they're just all about cash. They're just like, y'all need a bounty hunter, y'all hired me, right? So it's like, it's just a regular old job. I ain't got to worry about the dark side coming after me.
But you have even worse to worry about, bro. You're not thinking. Like, as a bounty hunter, you have to worry about other bounty hunters seeking the same bounty, dude. And that's fucking scary when you just think, imagine the three of us are bounty hunters, right? We all leave. Bet, boom, boom, boom. I see y'all down the street. I'm like, I thought I was about to get this bounty. Like, sorry, Brody, nothing personal, my nigga. Bow. Yep. That works. We having this great podcast right now, right? We having laughs. I meet you downstairs. It's like, yo, your loyalty's to the money. It's a lonely life.
You're right, because then it's that scene in in John Wick or something like that.
And depending on what our morals is, it'd be like, all right, look. I found him. Brody, you capture him. Deuce, we're going to use your ship to get away. And we're going to split this shit.
Three ways.
But we all got guns out like this, though.
It's this.
All right. I'm taking something from this bounty. All right. So that's the plan. We cool? See, and that's what you got to worry about, dudes. And then too, though, you can't exclude having force powers, because though you may have them, who says that you have to join them?
That is true.
That's what I want to be. I would want to be a force powered
Mandalorian. Crazy.
Oh, if I was a force powered man, that's different.
That's different. Now, what was you gonna say though, Brody?
Yeah, I just, it's so hard to wear out of place. I mean, I'm definitely not going to be a stormtrooper. That's working your government job. You know what I mean? It's just in and out, day in, day out, and it's just terrible benefits. Like, that's not it. And they give you faulty guns. I'm not going to blame every stormtrooper for being a bad aim. I think the guns are bad. I think they're giving them bad equipment. I guess I got to think about what planet. First of all, what planet would I want to live on, you know? And then it's like, I don't want to live on Tatooine. I don't want to live on like no Hoth and no Dagobah. I'm thinking I want to live on I like Naboo, man. You know what I'm saying? I know.
Yeah, that's clean.
Naboo's like Dubai. You know, like it was just beautiful. I know this sounds so terrible. I might be a Gungan. I might fuck around and be a Jar Jar Binks type of nigga because.
I wouldn't even give you Jar Jar Binks. I would give you higher than that, because
I mean, but a Gungan, not Jar Jar, but just a Gungan. Like, the Gungans clearly have fun. He's playing like everyone says. Jar Jar is actually really a Sith Lord. I mean,
that's what I was about to say. Like, I would see his lore being yours, but him not. But you like, you're not like him. Like, still got prestige and shit. But it's just like,
you can swim, and they go and they live. They have their whole world underwater. That's out, you know, out of sight, out of mind.
Yep, I see that.
Yeah.
So you would be that. You would be a Mandalorian deuce.
The one thing I would say though, if I was force sensitive and I was able to get me a lightsaber, I'm going to whoever designs the dark side lightsaber, because the Jedi's have trash lightsaber designs. It's just one. It's a sword. Or a dual sword. They got the same thing. Where the dark side, they be getting extremely creative. Like, I want something new.
I do feel that. You don't ever see no real upgrades in the Force. Be like, yo, bro, like, why y'all got these fucking 1993 lightsabers out here? Yeah. Like, man, like,
Can I get a trade that joint in, dog? I just leased this double joint. Look at this, man. I just got this
shit. Look, they shit spinning.
Right, I got a button.
I got to do that. They just hold it, and it just Like, yo, where our shit at?
Like, watch it, I can fly with my shit. Look, watch this, watch right. this. Look at that. I just pulled up with my lightsaber, nigga.
Right. This nigga shit radiating like, it looked like a sword, man. Why I just got this? My shit look like a popsicle. Like, yo, can we? I want different designs. Man, me, I would go with the only thing I think would be the best thing in Star Wars. The Ewoks. I would be a fucking Ewok out here in these streets.
Right. They be partying. Ewoks they be partying, bro.
Ewoks be partying.
That's why I was like, yo, fuck all this galaxy shit. Y'all can have that. I'm trying to be where the party at in them trees getting fucked up.
Because they party, they dance, they be
and they with the shits too.
Yes, they are.
I wish you would run up on an Ewok party or an Ewok clan and they coming at your ass.
Oh yeah, it's always gang.
It's gang, bro. That's why I'm like, yo, Ewok all day, yo. I like, yo, y'all come over here, come kick it with me. Nigga, we partying.
Yep. And low key, they be knowing everything. They keep their ears in the streets. They
everything. Know what's going on. These things be in the woods and got the central hub on everything. Be like, hey, bro, you know Darth Maul's still alive, right? You know that. Yep. You gotta keep that to yourself.
And they resourceful. They'll recycle some shit. Like, oh wait, what we got here? All right, what we gonna do? Hey, give me that. They turn the fucking Columbo. They just get the pieces and stuff.
Be like, look, we had to piece it together for you, but. We got a brick of spice. I'm gonna hit y'all with that, but you gotta bring me my chips back. All right.
Brick of spice.
Don't think we can't. We got a ship out here. You can't see it right now, but we got a ship back here. I don't want to come. You Brody, you know I know you. I don't want to come after you like that. You are dudes. You know how it look like Ewok hunting down a Mandalorian. Come on, man. Don't make me be that person coming up to the bar. Hey man, y'all seen a Mandalorian with dreads?
But you know what? They it's funny that they still haven't brought an Ewok back into the lore. Like they haven't shown any Ewoks, have they?
Ewoks ain't trying to be in this no more. They was like, look, we had our time. We shined in the '80s.
But like, where are the Ewoks? Like they really didn't in the sequel trilogy, we didn't see one Ewok.
They had their own planet, I believe. I think the last time they were moved because like where they were gonna become endangered. And I think Luke and Leia had them move to a different planet. And that was right after when Vader died. That was the last time we saw the Ewoks when they did the ceremony to burn them. I don't know if it was him that they burned or somebody. Who was it that they burned?
Burned Darth Vader. They burned Darth Vader on Endor, on the moon.
Yeah.
And whole thing was that they had, in the special edition, they showed a party all over the world. Everyone's having a party. The Ewoks were partying to celebrate the Death Star 2 being destroyed.
Yeah. But I think they have their own planet.
There was an Ewok that appeared in Rise of Skywalker at the end.
Was there?
Yeah, that's what they're saying. I'm trying to find the picture.
Oh, yeah. I think I do remember that. When they were celebrating on their planets and that one?
Yeah, I do believe so.
Yeah, man, the Ewok's still out here. We, you know, we just kicking, parlaying. Why would you fuck with Ewok?
Hey, Ewoks definitely sound like they'll have a thick Cali accent.
Like, what's happening with y'all, man? Man, welcome to the Ewoks. You know, we out here. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, man.
Come on, chill, sit down. We got bandanas.
Wait, you want to put I didn't know there was a cartoon called the Ewok.
Yes, bro. I got VHS with three episodes.
Yeah, I used to watch that and droids. They said droids and then Ewok show.
Yep, R2-D2 and C-3PO go on their own adventures.
There's two Ewok movies.
Yep. I was a huge Ewok fan. I don't know why.
I gotta dive more into Ewoks.
The Ewoks had me, bro. They were like, they were like the Smurfs of Star Wars, and it was just like, yo, these dudes is fire.
Damn, I didn't even know like they had like notable Ewok names. Like I'm learning more about Ewok. Yeah, I'm about to die.
Wicket's the main dude. Wicket.
Yep. Yeah, that's the one. But I didn't know all the other ones was like. There's so many.
if they put it in Star Wars, they got a name. Like it, like there's literally fans that name all the stormtroopers.
True. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, bro. Yo, I would love. I still want to do my. I want to do a show that was like The Office, but it was Star Wars and it was stormtroopers.
That's funny.
Yeah, that so is it's hilarious. Just, so like you just hit an emperor and he'd be like, execute order 66, and then somebody can just fucking with him and it's just like, emperor, we did a little bit of reconnaissance and we think it'll be better to execute order 69.
Order 67 is up. Order 68, 9 is up.
He's like, well, execute order 69. What was that? Not the sir. Not the sir. Execute order 69.
That's hilarious.
I would love to see some stuff like that. Like, you see, you got a whole floor of stormtroopers that's like HR, and you got to watch them get recorded.
You got to also, like,
I would actually prefer it though. I would honestly just lend it to like Robot Chicken or to do it just a spinoff show of just stormtroopers, you know?
Yeah, because
I almost wouldn't want Star Wars to be like them making fun of themselves. They, you know, with Disney, they'd be soft, they wouldn't take
it there. I see what you're saying.
Or we want them to take it there.
Yeah, Robot Chicken would be dope though to see.
Robot Chicken would take it there.
Yeah, they would definitely take it there.
Like, just not necessarily like it's stop motion, but like if the Robot Chicken franchise did a Stormtrooper in the Office show.
No, I can even see the stop motion though. Like, I think that would be even cool.
Well, I always said I don't know why somebody doesn't do it. Like, I feel like somebody should take, like, especially if you got a big property, but just do like a henchman story. Where it's random henchmen from different like properties, but it's like it's the bar like we talked about.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You have the foot soldiers complaining about it, and then you see some stormtroopers like, y'all think y'all got it bad? Y'all just fighting turtles. Like, we gotta fight this. Like, you know what I'm saying? And then you see the putties come in like, wait, nah, what y'all talk? Like, right?
But like, I used to be human. Right. I didn't. Yeah. I was not born putty, bro. I got transformed into this.
A whole bunch of henchmen talking about I wish I worked for the Joker squad for Joker.
No,
like,
no, the fuck you don't.
Right.
Imagine just sitting there, you get shot with laughing gas. You ain't dead. You just laughing. Ain't shit funny.
I gotta permanently smile because he put me some gas over me. That I gotta look like this forever.
This man told us we can't even stare at him. Harley Quinn just be groping our balls for no reason. If you flinch, she can hit you with that big ass hammer in your kneecap.
said my nigga David, his knee ain't been the same since.
She said it's a psychiatric test. I don't even get what the fucking psychiatric is about it.
Said I can't even go to therapy because she's a therapist.
Right.
Well, I went up there and she was like, hold on, I'm in session. It's just her though. It's just her. This bitch is in a session with herself.
Who is the worst? Like, who has it worse out of henchmen?
I'd say the Goombas in Super Mario Brothers. The Goombas, you just, Mario jumps on them, they're dead. They don't have arms.
They really don't have a fighting chance whatsoever.
No.
They really have to chase you with their face, you know what I'm saying? And hopefully bite you.
Like, they had to put spikes on to protect themselves. Some of them.
You had to have a helmet. You got to have the spike helmet.
Yo.
Hey, they do got it bad.
I'm trying to think who has it worse. Because being a stormtrooper sucks. Like, fault. Like, first of all, like, I was like, what are the qualifications of being a stormtrooper? Like, what is this? Are they all still clones? Were they drafting people?
I feel like the first few of them, they were kidnapped and then forced to be stormtroopers, and then they made clones. So it's like, yeah, I feel like stormtroopers has it bad because, like, yeah, like, you literally just dedicated to that stormtroopers. But, like, I feel like as a foot soldier, like, you just want to be a ninja. You train to be a ninja. Oh, my master is a master ninja. And in the first fight in the world you go in, you see these 7-foot turtles that also answer to a 7-foot rat. You're like, wait, whoa.
Hold on. First of all, no, I don't feel bad about them because that's one of them things where, I'm sorry, y'all should have guns. I don't know why you feel like you bad enough to fight a 7-foot turtle.
They didn't give it to them. That's
you,
what I'm saying.
You just want to be a Foot Clan soldier. Rob a pawn shop. You are a bad person.
when do they spring it on them that they're fighting turtles? Because like if you look at their training and everything is just ninja training.
So dojos, just regular dojos.
And Shredder is a known master ninja. Even though he's evil, you're like, I mean, he evil, but like, hey, this top tier nigga ninja, bro. Like, I'm learning from the best. And then when do they say, oh, but also you're not fighting other ninjas, you fighting a turtle.
But I also know I'm not that type of ninja like him. Like, he top tier. I ain't. Okay.
Yeah,
I can barely fit in my Foot Clan outfit. All right. Y'all sitting over here all dressed and ready to go, and my ass crack is out. And I'm worried about that shit now. So I'm not the best at this. So I see a 7-foot turtle coming at me, and they're gonna be like, yo, what happened to the turtles? Well, this dude that can't fit in his Foot Clan suit shot these niggas in the head, and then that was it. Like, you're fucking right. They in the back of this Tahoe. You want to make some turtle soup? See what's really cracking?
But
we can all like, have powers tonight.
Like, if you treat it like a job and you think about it, it's like, what week do they tell you is turtles? Because, like, you got to do, oh, so you want to be a foot soldier. Let's learn all about the ninja way. Let's get you, at what week do they say, all right, I don't know if y'all ever work call centers, but at call centers, at some point, they give you live action calls. It's like, you do all these tests in there, and then after week four, you're doing live action calls with real customers. So, what's that week?
But they be recruiting, though. So it's not like New York don't know this be happening. Like, 9 out of 10, y'all done walked across this fight happening. And it's
New York be acting like they can't tell Raphael in that fucking trench coat and that hat.
That's because New York is shell shocked. New York got attacked by everything. All right, Godzilla.
But it is a lot to digest, bro. Like, you're like, oh yeah, yeah. You're gonna have to fight these teenagers. Teenagers? Why not fight teenagers? Because they're mutant. Okay, that's nothing against them. That's just the environment. But they're ninjas. Well, I guess I am a ninja. But they are turtles.
Be like, okay, hold the fuck up. Like, hold on.
I'm fighting some teenagers that had a mutant freak accident that know how to fight, but they're turtles. Like, my training, my training, and you got me fighting turtles?
And you know what? Larry tried to tell us about that shit last week. And we didn't believe that nigga when he said he saw a 7-foot turtle on the top of the building eating some damn pepperoni pizza. And then just hopped on the skateboard and jetted off. And we just thought he was high. And we didn't believe him. And they really acted him.
There's always
we got fired for telling the story. We thought something was wrong with him.
They killed him. Y'all ain't even hear about it. They dropped him off the docks. They ain't even let him go home. They're like, you have shamed everybody.
I don't know, man. There's a lot of henchmen who got it bad out here.
There is a lot of history we got it bad, man. We're going to have to make that for another episode, though, man. We're going to go ahead and try to wrap this thing up, man. So just, jumping back to Star Wars with everything that announcing and coming out, like, I would like to know, what is the one thing that you are really excited for out of the announcements that you've heard?
I touched on it, I'm all the way in on Mandalorian and learning more about the home planet, learning more about when they got, like, when that everything got destroyed. And even so, seeing those little bits and pieces of it in the trailer, I'm like, yo, I want to know more about this. I want to know why they have these stances, these laws. I want to see that beef unfold of somebody saying, no, there's a newer way that we can do it. Let's do it this way. Like, I'm all for that. And hopefully, like I said, they dive a little bit deeper into Grogu during this process as well, so we can learn more about that race of people.
Right. Brody, what about you?
Yeah, I'm with Deuces on the same. I mean, like, I'm very excited for Ahsoka, but I think The Mandalorian is something that it's like, I'm already sad for the series finale of The Mandalorian, and season 3 hasn't even come on yet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Have y'all taken some time for yourself to think about, like, The Mandalorian is going to have to end at some point?
I scare myself because I'm like, Are y'all gonna treat this like a 5-seasoner and just go out epic, or are you gonna shoot it for a run? Like, are we gonna get 8? Are y'all gonna hit us with 10? Like,
I think the best way, the best kiss to it, is you do 3-4 seasons, and then a movie.
Yeah.
I concur with that.
Dude, you go out with a movie, bro.
Peaky Blinders style. I like it.
Mm-hmm. Could do so. Do you think the timeline ever catches up?
I don't. To be honest, though, I feel like it's not necessary. Like, I kind of feel like Star Wars has a great open window to not particularly pinpoint where the stoppage is on a lot of these shows.
Yes. Yeah.
Like Mandalorian, like you can get a wide lore of it, but you don't need the exact time of when this is happening.
Like, well, you have 30 years though. You have 30 years of leeway before like the events of Force Awakens.
Yeah. Yes.
So we are, but again, and we already know that that's what that says. So it's like there's no reason for us to be like, oh, this is the XYZ time when this stopped and this is how this occurred. It's like y'all can give us that with like the elements that we see. Like we know, okay, yeah. Oh, like we hear the thing about, oh, the blueprint of the Death Star is getting made for like another one or something like that.
Yeah.
Like to see those things, it's like, okay, we kind of know what we're coming up with. I just hope they don't, like, I don't think they need to pinpoint it.
And I agree. I was just asking if they're throwing it out there for conversation purposes. But yeah, because I like the fact that, like, yeah, I don't have to, because when you know that is leading up to a specific point, then like, Then I really gonna feel like Brody, like, ah, dang it, man. I know where we're at, and I'm already gauging the time of the end of this property of Mandalorian. Like,
because yeah, I think the biggest thing they're trying to, one thing they're gonna try to, I mean, it's delicate because they could clean it up or fuck it up more. The shit they put themselves in with Rise of Skywalker and the whole cloning thing. Yeah. I mean, I think they're gonna, there might be some, there's one theory that, like, I guess, like, you know, maybe they were trying to bring back Sith or Jedi Masters, Sith Lords, Jedi Masters, you know? So in the same experiment, they're bringing back Palpatine, but they also brought back Yoda. You know what I'm saying? So the baby, yeah. So the Grogu we know is actually just a clone Yoda, and then the Palpatine we see of Rise of Skywalker is the full execution, you know? But you know what I'm saying?
Hey, that would be dope.
They could have been in the same experiment together.
Dang, that would be fire. That would be fun, man.
That's the only way. Yeah, that's the only way that I think the Mandalorian can. Well, they can clean up Rise of Skywalker a lot if they show us the experiments and show us what went into making. Because they put themselves in a hole by just saying, "Oh yeah, we cloned him." By the way, Snoke's dead, and we cloned.
Yeah.
Don't worry about Snoke anymore. We're just erasing him.
Which I still, y'all already know my theory. Well, I don't know if y'all know my theory, but I think Deuce did. My theory on Snoke was that was actually the apprentice from the video games. Mm. I kept thinking that was Starkiller. You remember that video game on PS2?
The Tech Masters of Teskashi?
No. It was Star Wars The Apprentice.
Okay.
Yeah, no, that was a dope ass video game. I wish they would have had that kind of as some kind of canon in the movies or the series and stuff like that. But you know, they gotta live within the game. But I think it's a 3-for-3. I'm the same way. I'm excited about Mandalorian. Same thing with Ahsoka, but I'm also too kind of interested in the skeleton crew and just to see like, and I think too that's just based off of really what Brody said, like adding that element of some kind of dope lure into it mixed with this. I think it'll be for a dope ride, especially like with Jude Law. So I think that'll be cool. But we want to know what y'all think. We want to know, what did you take away from D23's Lucasfilm announcements? And what was your biggest takeaway, even if it was a Star Wars? Was it Willow, or was it the news of Indiana Jones? We want to know that, but we do want to know, what was your favorite Star Wars takeaway from this presentation? Deuce.
I want to add also, who would y'all be in the Star Wars universe? Like, what crew, that question that we had, where would you start? Would you be a Jedi? Would you be, a Mandalorian? I want to see what they say is that as well.
Or Ewok. Where would you be at?
Yeah. Yeah. Ewok gang. Yeah.
Or a Gungan.
Yeah.
Like Misa.
Yes. Who would you be in the Star Wars universe? Yeah. Let us know in the comments below. Before we get out of here, though, I always like to make sure that my guests get to let y'all know where to go support them. We'll start with Deuce, go with Brody, and we'll wrap this thing up.
All right. So I, as always, man, y'all can follow me at young_deuces. And also, again, we're still rocking out with the Black Geek documentary that we're working on. So, you know, say like go to the blackgeekdocumentary.com to see all the information. I think the next convention that we're hitting is Anime Week in Atlanta. So if you are in Atlanta and you're going to be going there, look out for us, man. Get on the documentary.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Brody.
Yes, indeed. You guys can find me at Brody the Joker on all social media platforms, B-R-O-A-D-Y, the Joker, like it says on the screen. And if you're in the Arlington, Virginia area, October 2nd, I'll be performing, headlining at the Arlington Draft House. So come out for some laughs. I'd love to see you guys.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Ladies and gentlemen, make sure that you like this video, comment in the video, and make sure you subscribe to the channel and turn on notifications. So when a new episode drops, you are the first one there to go see it. And you know, we might premiere this and be hopping in the chat as well. So you never know. But we appreciate you checking out Shroud of a Comic Book. I've been your host, Will Ferrell, and we will catch you next time.